You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We welcome you back. We're an hour in from SEC Media Days in Hoover, and that's nice to say, considering we didn't say that. I have not said that for 2 years. Glenn Gilbo, who's covered a lot of these, not as many as a few of us, but how many is this for you, Glenn?
You know, I started doing this in 1980. I didn't get everyone, but I remember covering it in 1985 in Birmingham at a different hotel, and I was at the end of the Skyriders tour. I was working at LSU's Sports Information Department. I was in charge of getting alcohol for the media at the old Belmont Hotel.
Wow.
On Airline Highway in Baton Rouge. But yeah, this is something I'm glad it's
a friend of mine, Buddy Martin, who covers the Gators. He has talked for years. Or he was on the Skyriders tour. He's talked for many years with me about, and he's talked to almost all those Skyriders who are still alive. And one just passed away, my former boss. And I frankly think it would be a phenomenal documentary because you saw a little bit of it. I heard a lot about it. But the debauchery that went on is legendary.
Be like rock and roll bands touring. It definitely was. I was talking to Ron Higgins about this. You know, we were born too late, man. We missed the Skyriders. I remember reading Will Pennegy talking about it in the Times-Picayune in New Orleans. But that would be if you could get them to talk on the record. I guess there's no video of it, but that would be fun, you know.
Yeah, you know, I'm a little bit older than you, so I got a taste of all that, but not enough of it.
Right. Well, it was such a different era. I mean, now the coaches fly in and fly out. You know, it wasn't that long ago where you know they would just have more time with the media. I remember Pat Dye and Ray Perkins had like these camps for like an entire weekend in Alabama, like hunting and fishing camps. And
it was one of the, again, you know, you go back 35 years and things were different, but both the Auburn and Alabama coach, there was a golf outing and they put us up overnight. And I'm telling you, that was a big deal.
Yeah. And now, most of it was off the record. You know,
yeah, it was all off the record.
And some of it was on the record.
And you could learn something.
Sure. And it's amazing that they did it. I guess it was just they realized the importance of it.
Now, you're talking to somebody right here talking about going back in time with LSU. I think I covered Charlie McClendon's last season at LSU, which, what a character he was.
Right. And, you know, at LSU, they used to have this – they'd call it a warm down. About an hour or so after the game, they had like a little bar in the stadium.
And upstairs.
The media would go there.
Or was it downstairs? I can't remember.
It was upstairs.
Yeah,
it was upstairs. It was cool. You overlooked the stadium at night. And Coach Mack would come up there, and then Coach Stovall. And it went up through Bill Arnsparger.
Yeah.
And Curley did it a couple of times, but then he didn't like it. They were not having a great season.
I know we are now sounding like the guys that we used to look up to.
Yes.
But what I think a lot of you don't understand is you hear aging sports writers.
Thank you.
Wax, well, I'm talking about myself, wax poetic, is that the writers of today, and you're a little different because you know a lot of these people, but you know, the younger people that are covering sports, I mean, I've interviewed countless people this year who have never met the coach they're covering.
Oh, no question. There's a new guy covering a prominent SEC coach, and he was told that he'll try to get him 2 minutes this weekend.
Yeah.
You know,
and
I mean,
I don't know if it – because I was kind of a rebel. I thought the way it had always been done Glenn was wrong, and I was going to do it my way, and I was going to set the – I was going to change the world. And, you know, I now understand why a lot of those guys did it their way. But they also knew – I mean, they could keep secrets too. And, you know, is that good? You can debate it in journalism school, but the audience didn't know any different.
No, and, you know, I mean – Saban was like that when he was at LSU. There were certain things he'd tell you. You know, you can still get some of that. And, you know, we've had off-the-record situations here at the media days. I think that's still good journalism. I mean, you know, you're keeping something off the record now, but there's always a chance it's going to come out later. You know, and there's so much that is on the record. You know, that's a way to build trust. Both ways. You know, it's not everything needs to be reported right now. That's the temptation right now. Is everybody wants everything reported
really,
right now.
Really, the only time I've ever had a problem with Saban was here about 5 years ago. Remember those guys had been down in Louisiana. They got in trouble.
In Monroe.
And what happened was what Saban did at LSU, he would have the media come up to a suite before he spoke publicly.
Sure.
And I've been up there a million times, as you have, and I had to do an interview. It was 4 or 5 years ago down here with somebody, so I didn't get a chance to go up. So I didn't know what had happened. So he comes out to the press conference room.
Right.
Never comes up, and you know, because all those guys were upstairs.
Right.
Where
right.
he talked about it and right. And his beef wasn't with his players; it was with the Louisiana sheriff or something. You know the story.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So he comes on our show up. I mean, I'm on there with Dari Noka and a couple of, and Dari asks him about it, and he blows it off. And I said, I'm sitting next to Saban. I go, come on. I said, I mean, I
remember it. I remember.
And
it.
He explodes. And he later told me, he said, I thought you already knew. I said, I wasn't up there. And that's why he felt like I had betrayed this confidence that when he explained it, and he explained it. Only Nick Saban can that
sure.
It wasn't his player's fault.
Right.
It was the sheriff in whatever parish's fault.
Transfer of blame.
but you know, these are things that. But he was going old school.
Sure, sure. Well, it's amazing. I mean, I covered Gene Stallings when he was the Alabama coach, and we used to meet with him in his big staff room after practice. And he told us on a Wednesday, he goes, all right, guys, off the record, we're going to switch to a 4-3 defensive front for this game against South Carolina. They've been playing the 3-4 during the 92 National Championship. And he just trusted, like, these six people. And he goes, and then after the game, one of you guys asked me, you know, why we switched to that. So, okay, coach. I mean, and everybody went with him, you know. And he was getting criticism at this time.
Sure.
You know, you can criticize a coach and still go – off the record with them on certain things, and they like that. And Coach Saban would go off the record quite a bit when he was at LSU as well, because you know, Nick has a need to explain himself, you know, because he's a good teacher. That's why he's such a great coach, is because he's a teacher and he really knows how to explain things. And sometimes he'd rather do that off the record. And coaches really should do that more.
They should, but. They don't, and I don't know. And I'm, you know, of all people, I'm not going to attack the media. But nowadays, you don't know, you know, where you can trust and what you can't. So
sure. There's so many media, and it's so much more based on speed.
Right.
That's just kind of wiped that out.
Well, the greatest secret in, you know, not the greatest, but one of the greatest secrets in SEC history was when Paul Bryant went to the Wishbone. I think it was 70 or 71, somewhere in there.
Right after the loss to USC.
Yeah, and the media knew about it.
Yeah.
But he was able to, but, I mean, a lot was at stake. They went out to California, beat Southern Cal, as it was a surprise. And
the media knew about it, like, all summer,
yeah.
I think. Yeah. See, that's kind
of. Can you
imagine
today?
You know, you'd think one guy would want to break the story.
But Saban did that once. When Saban first came to Alabama, Glenn, and we're talking to Glenn Gilbo, it's almost like two guys are just sitting at the end of the bar, which he had a – I was not there, but he had a bunch of writers over. He said, no, know, ask whatever you want. And some guy said, well, you know, we want to go to practice. And I go, okay. And he said, you can come, but it's going to be off the record. And some guy said, well, I don't know. He said, let me tell you something. He said, if you come to practice, it's going to be done my way. And the guy said, well, I'm not. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, you come to practice, you violate my rules. He said, I'll never speak to any of you again. And I was like, and he used very coarse Saban-esque language. And the room, nobody asked another question.
Exactly. Yeah, Stallings used a similar thing. And that's how they were able to keep everybody on the same team, so to speak. But, yeah, that's just not going to happen anymore.
Glenn Gilbo and I have completely overwhelmed this with stories from the crypt. We're going to pause for a second. I want to get Glenn's thoughts on LSU, which is, you know, part of the reason we asked him.
Back to the future.
We'll talk about the coach who I don't know how Ed Orgeron deals with the media, but he must be handling it okay. But how much longer that will last, we don't know. Glenn will join us when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is Dan Mullen coming up shortly? Until then, we'll try to entertain you with Glenn Gilbo. Okay, let's talk about LSU. We had a guest on a minute ago, Barrett Salee, who picked LSU to win the West.
Wow.
I thought you would say that.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, I think LSU will be better this year. I think they'll be in that 9-win zone, maybe 10 wins. But there's just too many question marks to think they'll win the West, and I mean I can't see anybody overcoming Alabama.
We had.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We were thinking about having Barrett drug tested after he left here, but we did not have jurisdiction.
Well, Barrett and I had that famous debate on your show one time.
I do remember that.
We could have repeated that. But, no, LSU has two new coordinators, actually three new coordinators if you count the pass game coordinator. They're not sure who their quarterback is. They were five. They returned 20-some-odd players, but that's from a 5-5 team. So,
right.
That's not always a good thing to return a lot of players from an average – team, but they did finish strong. They have a lot of talent. They have a chance to be nine or ten wins, but I don't think they're going to win the West.
The situation off the field has gotten so much attention, and I mean you're covering LSU primarily on the field because that's what people are interested in. How have you had to balance all the noise, Glenn, as somebody who's done this for a long time?
Well. You never can relax. You never know when something's going to drop, like the next level of the basketball investigation.
That's still going on?
The official letter of inquiry they haven't actually gotten, that I think that's going to drop. And then, USA Today drops a story on the sexual assault every now and then. So does the so do I, and so does the Baton Rouge paper. But it's been a time bomb, really, for the last year. And, I mean, there's also a football recruiting investigation and the Board of Education suing LSU over Title IX lawsuits. So it's never been quite like this. I mean, you remember the famous Dale Brown SI cover, Crazy Days at LSU. That was nothing compared to this.
You mentioned the Will Wade situation, which is now more than 2 years old, and he's still there and still seems to be recruiting pretty well. Does that story have any resolution in sight, or does it just keep going?
Well, you know, that's what Greg Sankey made some great points today, that there has to be a quicker resolution to these ongoing NCAA things. I mean, it just really makes the NCAA look ridiculous when these things just go on and on. I mean, I would think eventually they're going to make some kind of resolution or make some kind of decision, you know, but, you know, maybe not. I mean, it just seems to just go on and on, and that is not good for its credibility.
I never thought I would ask a question like this because I started as an investigative reporter. But do the fans care any longer what the NCAA does? Because the credibility has been shattered.
Yeah, especially now with the NIL. You know, I mean, it's like, what is the NCAA? I mean, somebody asked Sankey today, do they have an enforcement staff?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like they don't have an enforcement staff. But, no, I think fans don't care as much. They used to kind of be worried about the NCAA more. I don't think they care at all anymore. You know, oh, gee, the NCAA. There's just so much rampant disrespect for them. And, you know, you have Jay Billis ripping the NCAA every time he can. You know, but I think it's a strange world out there without the NCAA. You know, if you don't like Democrats, you have Republicans. If you don't like Republicans, you have Democrats. But if you don't like the NCAA, what else is there? You know, they have to come up with some other kind of governing
body. You like cheating.
Yeah, or it's just the Wild West,
more than it's ever been. But are we not there anyway?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I don't know what they can do. But to answer your question, I don't think the fans really care what the NCAA does anymore.
I mean, you don't want to be the last coach fired because the NCAA has charges on you.
Well, I mean, I think the way a lot of coaches see it is, you know, I'm going to cheat, I'm going to win, I'm going to make a lot of money, and by the time I get caught, I'll be rich. And if worst case scenario, I'll go be some NBA scout or something or a consultant, you know. But they can make the temptation to cheat is just so great because you can make a lot of money over quite a few years because the NCAA is so slow.
Talking to Glenn Gable, another minute or two here. We'll talk to Dan Mullen in a couple of minutes. So as you look ahead to this season, you mentioned LSU could be a nine win team, could be a 10 win team. What's keeping them from, well, other than Joe Burrow and about 10 other players, but what's keeping them from a serious run?
Well, I just think there's too many ifs. Durante Jones is an inexperienced defensive coordinator. He was an assistant secondary in the NFL. The only place he was a defensive coordinator was at Bowie State, which has nothing to do with the Bowie knife in Opelousas. So I looked that up. But a new offensive coordinator, a new pass game coordinator, and they haven't done those jobs before. You know, usually when a school like LSU makes a hire, they have a little more experience at those positions. So Coach O is betting on some green assistant coaches in big positions. And, you know, but the good thing is I think he is going to have a pretty good quarterback in Max Johnson who can also run. And they're pretty talented on defense. So they have a chance to be pretty good.
Schedule, opening game. Seems a little tricky.
Sure. You know, especially when you look at LSU's question marks. I mean, they would be this kind of team. They would be much better with a couple of easy teams before they go out and play at the Rose Bowl, you know. But, you know, I don't think UCLA is a great team either. So that could be a good
game. No, I mean, it's not like –
Right.
But, hey, LSU fans have a long history.
Yeah, and I mean – You know, I think Auburn's good. I think Florida's good. Alabama's good. you know, there's some Texas A&M, I think, is gonna make Texas A&M, if Alabama doesn't win the West, Texas A&M is gonna win the West.
Glenn Gilbo,
they have a tough schedule.
It's been great to talk to you. I didn't mean to wax poetic about yesteryear, but we will continue this. All the best. We'll take a short break. Dan Mullen coming
Thank
up
you.
Shortly.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hoover, Alabama, as we continue. And we say hello to all of you as you've been watching all day. The only reason I'm sounding so strange is some our nice guys on the set are moving me as we talk. So haven't been on a roller coaster in a while. Great to have all of you back. And a busy afternoon as we watch some of the big names in the SEC come in, including me. I have my Boeing shirt on. That right there is a guy who has spent 4 hours trying to make an hour and 10-minute flight. So if I look a little worse for the wear, there's the explanation. I wish you could only hear what I said to the clerk as I came in. Like, where is the book? Where is the bar? Anyway, great to have you here. Dan Mullen will join us shortly. We look forward to speaking to him. And we'll also continue taking your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Greg Sankey, of course, opened media days earlier, and he had a rather stern message.
You hope not to have disruption, but hope is not a plan, is the great cliche. We still have roster minimums that exist, just like last year. What I've identified for consideration among our membership is we remove those roster minimums and you're expected to play as scheduled. That means your team needs to be healthy to compete. And if not, that game won't be rescheduled. And thus, to dispose of the game, the forfeit word comes up at this point. That's not a policy, and what you see are the bookends now for decision making. We've not built in the kind of time we did last year, particularly at the end of the season, to accommodate disruption. And unless we're going to do that, our teams are going to have to be fully prepared to play their season as scheduled, which is why embedded in my remarks is the vaccination motivation.
Greg Sankey talking earlier today about one of the big issues here, and it's COVID. We thought we had eradicated that as an SEC Media Days issue, but with COVID, with a Delta variant raging, it is not going away. But we're going to talk some football here, and who better to talk to than someone we always love to catch up with at Media Days, Dan Mullen, talking about the Gators coming off of a very memorable season. We all know about making it to the SEC championship game and playing Alabama. Offense looks pretty good, including a particular gentleman at start, at quarterback, and the opener against Florida Atlantic. We say hello to Dan Mullen. Coach, it's good to see you and hope
you
the
too.
Summer was well. How are you?
Great, great. It's great to be back here and almost feel some sense of normalcy. I it's not quite the mayhem that this usually is, but it certainly feels a little bit more normal.
It does, though. Even the playing field, though, there aren't as many fans of one particular school.
But you know what? No, when you walk in, that first play, and everyone's going crazy. It's always kind of fun to see all those people out there. Then you come upstairs, and the media everywhere. It's, you know, kind of that reminder that we're right around the corner, and hopefully we get back to right around the corner in a regular college football season.
You've done this a few times, but even though you were an assistant on a national championship winning course club, what was it like that first time you showed up here as the head coach of Mississippi State? I know you'd been warned about it, but
it was an experience. I'll tell you that it was certainly an experience, and it was a lot of fun. You know, I think this is now my 13th year here. Well, I guess if you don't, not last year, my 12th. We skipped last year, but you know, it's always fun. It's great to see people you get to see. You get to see people you don't always get to see in a bunch. Say hello to people. And, you know, and it reminds you how important SEC football is.
Some coaches obviously dread media days. I mean, I've sat here and looked back, and a coach will read something and then he'll repeat it almost again. I'm not here to talk. You are different. I mean, again, it's your personality.
Yeah.
But you seem to like really enjoy this.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, if you said, I mean, we could be on the golf course right now, or wake surfing, or kind of on the boat, or on a beach somewhere.
I saw that video.
On the boat. Oh, I might be doing that instead, but. You know, I don't mind this at all. I love college football. You know, I love the passion people have for college football. And I think when you come here, you know, this has been a tough year for everybody. I mean, everybody's been waiting this. I mean, you're looking at fan bases around the league, not just all the media and the coaches that are here, but the fan bases that can't wait to get back to going into a stadium, seeing and cheering on their team, the excitement of college football. That's why I love this, because you can start to feel the energy about it.
Do you come here?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
With a message, I mean, clearly coaches are prepared, but some come a little more message-oriented than others.
I probably used to a lot more. I've done this for a while. I go through some notes. I go through, I guess going first today, you know, whoever goes fourth, maybe is the you get that chance that you get to see. You know, if you go last, everyone's probably exhausted. I've never gone last, but you know every question that's already been asked. Like, okay, what are the, when you come up here on the main stage, what are the questions you're getting? Right. Where does people are going after this year? What do they want to know about? So it can prep you that way. You know, I've kind of come in and review some things, go through what are some talking points, what are questions you're going to be asked, and just try to reflect and think about, how do I want to answer those questions? You know, in intelligent ways, because I don't have, can't sit here and mull over it for 30 minutes. I got to just come up with whatever my answer is. So you review that, but not really. You know, I think the hardest one is the questions of through the years, who you bring. Okay, is this sending a message? Is this doing that? I went back to, okay, I want to try to bring my captains each year. Or, you know, top senior leadership guys. Then I went to, you know what, it's great. Those guys get attention. Let's prep some young up-and-comers, and always brought juniors. And then that hit. Dak Prescott was going to be a senior, and the commissioner called and said, well, you mean you're not bringing Dak Prescott? I said, well, he's a senior. I'm bringing underclassmen. I'm like, okay, that threw that one out.
Right.
So you just kind of go through, and you're finding, like, you know, we brought Ventrell Miller and Zach Carter here today, but you're looking at two of the leaders of our team, leaders of our defense, coming back as three-year starters, fifth-year seniors, guys that really represent every part of our program. And those were kind of the two guys that jumped out to me is that represent every part of our program.
Talking to Coach Mullen, and I know you can't help but hear some of the noise, but we had a pretty prominent guy on the other day, our program, Phil Steele. He puts out, everybody reads his magazine. And he went out of his way to talk about how you were not in his top 25. I don't know whether that's reached you or not, or whether matters. Do you read that stuff?
Like me personally? No. Okay.
Well, your fans care.
Oh, that we're not, like, oh, our team?
Yeah.
Or no, I'm no, not no, one I'm of sorry. His top
let me,
25
let me,
people.
No, let me explain. You're definitely in the top 10 coaching-wise. The University of Florida, the team you coach.
For this year?
Yes.
Yeah. You can make an argument. Say, hey, we weren't statistically great on defense. We lost a lot of offensive production. We have some younger players. You can make an argument with that. I don't know. I mean, you know me. I've come here for years. And, you know, I think the one year they picked us to finish last at Mississippi State, we were number one in the country for half the year. You know, but it just is what it is. You know, I think when, you know, and Phil does a great job of stuff. Phil's looking at it as a pure statistical deal. Right, if you look at absolute statistics. there's a lot more goes into that than just pure sticks. A lot goes on in a game, you know, and you look, okay, what happens of how we want to play the game out, how I want to control the game can affect statistics in a lot of ways, you know. And baseball, there's 27 outs. Football, you're getting any, you might get a possession. I could create a game where you're only going to get 8 possessions. I might create one, you get 19 possessions. Well, you're going to get a lot more points and yards in a 19 possession game than you're going to get in an 8 possession game. And so I think there's a lot that goes into that, but I have no problem with that. That's fine. Listen, if you said, hey, you can be a preseason All-American or a postseason All-American, I'll take postseason, right? You can be a preseason champion or a postseason champion, I'll take postseason every time. So we'll see how it plays out.
I've already heard you refer to Emory today. I know that's a big deal. We all know your background. Tell us more about him.
So Emory's, you know, I mean, one of the things you look at, the things I love about Emory is here's a guy that's come in very highly regarded. And then the funny one is pocket passer coming out of high school, you know, but very highly regarded. Came in and very patiently has waited his turn, you know, learn, continue to grow, develop. And I want to say waited his turn. Instead of rushing his career, he is worried about development in his career. So he has continued to develop throughout his career. Now, he has got a strong arm, and he is a dynamic playmaker with his feet. And he has experience. And I think when you look at those combinations of things, if you go to his stat line, and you look at his career attempts, completions, touch yards, touchdown passes, carries, yards, touchdown runs, you wouldn't look at him as a guy that's never played much football or a rookie. You know, where he lacks in maybe his career statistic line is starts. Not playing, his starts. Games appeared in, key moments. And if you go back through, you know, 2 years ago, Trask goes down against Auburn. He comes in at a key moment of the game, two possessions, leads us down, we score. A lot of times last year, I'd roll him in and he'd do well. I'd just leave him in. You know, it wasn't like, hey, you're going in for this package. I'm putting you in. Let's see what you can go do. And we've done that with him his whole career. So I think he's prepared for this moment and he's ready to take advantage of it.
Before you go, have you you dropped by the Jags operation to see how your pupil's doing?
You know what? I have not gone up there yet. I talked to Timmy a little while. I'll talk to Urban every once in a while to see how all those guys are doing. I think once we get back into complete normalcy, I think it'd be great having Urban up there to go spend time with them. And, you know, I'd love – Tim Tebow, as you know, and you've got to know him, is one of the greatest human beings on the face of the earth. And but the lock comes with him every time he goes. Not him; it's just the follows him, what's around him at all times. It's pretty fun to watch.
You alluded to your surfing, and as we thank you so much, we're going to entertain the audience for those who have.
I'm gonna get back out before we start. The benefit about going first at SC Media Days is. This time tomorrow.
What's happening here?
Yeah, I'm over there at Reynolds at Lake Oconee. Hit the little 360 coming out of the wave right there. So I'll be, you know, this time tomorrow, while other people are up here at Media Days, maybe as you said, some of them dread it and don't like it. I'll probably be back out surfing over there tomorrow. So,
great way to end it. Coach, thank you. See you soon.
Thank you.
And we're going to take a break. More with Shane Beamer a little bit. We appreciate Coach Mullen joining us. We're live at SEC Media Days.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And this is the scene from SEC Media Days. This is where all the writers hang out. You always hear about the big room. That's where the coaches and the players go. That's where the commissioner began things a couple of hours ago. A lot of laptops and a lot of tweeting going on there. We say hello to you again as the first day winds down. Dan Mullen joining us a few minutes ago. We'll talk to Shane Beamer here in a minute. We have not had a chance to talk to too many callers lately. Let's do that right now and talk to Eddie down in Florida. Hello, Eddie. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, my man?
Eddie, we're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, first of all, congrats on your extension. I hope ESPN is smart enough to pay you more than they paying Stephen A. Smith.
Nobody's in that league, but thanks for bringing it up.
Hey, you are in that league. Don't sell yourself short. Hey, just to comment on what Philly Sally was saying, about LSU going undefeated, I guess. I really don't have a problem.
By the way, for those who some of you may not have been with us, Barrett Salih was with us a few minutes ago, about an hour ago, and he predicted that LSU would go 11-1, beat Alabama, and win the West.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, he's also the guy that was pretty high on LSU after watching that spring, I guess, that spring game. So I don't know, Paul. I don't know who's going to win the West, but, you know, I get tired of hearing people saying about all these holes Alabama got to fill. We fill holes every year. Every year we fill holes. All right? I mean, that's why we recruit so well, to fill those holes. But I'll still bet on it'll be Bama or A&M, but I don't know if LSU will be there. They got too many changes in reference to coaches and positions. Coaching positions that they got to work on. But who knows, Paul? But hey, I look forward to it. I can't wait to the season, man. And you have fun in Hoover and roll damn Tide.
Thank you so much. Pat is up next. Pat, go right ahead. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Thanks. Life is good. It's SEC Media in Hoover, Alabama. It's great.
Thank you.
Greg Sankey's comments, I heard them a few minutes ago, and you know, there's no do-overs. There's no room at the end of the schedule. You know, you're going to have to show up and play all the games. That's rather straightforward. Do you care to read in between the lines about what he's saying about what it's supposed to look like? And I'm thinking about, you know, we've got the Delta variants and then the people who are getting sick and getting hospitalized and people that are dying. Do you think everybody?
Yeah, Pat, I'll give it a shot, and I think you're exactly right. What the message that the commissioner is sending out is, if you choose not to be vaccinated, then you are walking down a very slippery slope. And he said it a couple of times. You've heard him say it here. He mentioned it right after the flap out of the College World Series with NC State, that, you know, he's saying your players won't have to go through the COVID protocol, meaning the testing pattern, the testing, if you're vaccinated. And you have a much better chance of not losing players due to COVID. And it's still there. Everyone knows that. We see it every day, whether it's the Olympics or baseball or basketball, we've seen it. And there's no getting around it. I mean, he's advocating the vaccine. I don't think there's any escaping that from where I'm sitting. Same for you, Pat?
Yes, and I'm trying to think of a word for the appropriate circumstances. It's fantastic that he's taking that approach. A lot of people aren't, and I just don't know what to say.
People look at vaccine and they either are for or against it based on ideology. The commissioner's not doing that. He's simply saying, if you want to compete with a healthy football team, that's what we're suggesting, because we're not stopping this year, and we're not slowing down, and we're not going to do what we did last year when everybody was dealing with the same thing and there was no vaccine. So I think even though he's nuancing his, well, I don't even know if he's nuancing the words, I think he's pretty emphatic.
Well, if I can figure it out, there's not much of a nuance to it, Paul. But
No. Well, that would make both of it. Hey, thanks for the call, Matt. Appreciate it. That was certainly the big story of the day. You knew it would be. Yeah, you knew it would be with all the news coverage of the Delta variant. So. I don't think anyone here really wanted to be talking about COVID. I've talked about it enough to last 20 lifetimes, but it's still there to be discussed. We'll take a break. Shane Beamer, the new coach at South Carolina, will join us. We just had Dan Mullen on. SEC Media Days Day 1 continues right after this.